subsidiaries that are SMEs. Elizabeth. Elizabeth, please.
This agenda paper is addressing two issues that were raised in your discussion at the September board meeting. So, what are the benefits to preparers of a reduced disclosure standard if those preparers nevertheless have to submit a consultation pack? And secondly, scope of the project. The current scope is subsidiaries that are SMEs. As defined in the IFRS for SMEs, there was a suggestion that the scope could be widened, either to all SMEs or somewhere in between. Paper sets out both issues, but the staff are proposing that on reflection, we feel that, assuming the project does move to standard setting, it might be better on the scope issue to let the project run with the current scope, and then when we've got a much better feel for the project to then debate scope. So before we take a vote on whether you want to do that, do you actually have any comments, questions on any?
Martin, you can expect a word of support here. Martin.
When I asked for that, what is the rationale and... When I have seen that, man, I'm more or less convinced. When I'm not so convinced, because when I thought,
well, that's an improvement.
People, let me explain it. That's it. When people, what you're saying is, some preparing a consolidated financial statements, where they include into the balance sheet and P&L numbers from subsidiaries, but for disclosure, they think it is immaterial. And I find that odd. I have to say that. Because, for example, if you have then a subsidiary which has a lease contract and that is then included in the balance sheet asset and liability and is included in the lease expenses, but if it comes to the disclosure of these amounts, say you think it is immaterial and they don't, that is my understanding of why it is. And I understand it with other kind of share-based comp, which is then maybe done centrally. I totally understand that. But my understanding was also in the consolidated package, they including something, but for disclosure, they don't. And that I found at least, not for me, direct understandable. And that was my question in the beginning, because I thought if something delivers to the primary financial statements information, then they should also deliver for the disclosure. And that was my question, and I didn't understood that rationale. But now people are saying, yes, they're doing that. I find it strange, but if that is the case...
Gary, do you find it strange?
Strange in what way?
The way that Martin said.
I
didn't know that it was happening.
No, I don't find it strange at all, so I guess I find Martin strange. Got a little levity here. Actually, I support this project, and I think this is an option we're presenting. You can presumably subsidiaries for their statutory filings can do full IFRS, and presumably they could do IFRS for SMEs. Presumably they could do this, and presumably they might be able to do local GAAP, and some of these things might exist, simultaneously, some will not. What I know from a former life, we did 400 statutory financial statements a year. And there was a ton of work, and anything that can take work out is a good thing, especially when they're captives. Who really is the audience for these things? You are not going to do significant borrowings or contracts without parent company support, explicitly, implicit, or backing it up in some way. So I think if we end up going through the work that the staff is doing, that we think there's enough changes, from what the SME standard all by itself would do, I think it's a good thing to do, and again, I can't see any harm, I can't see any foul, I can only see some upside, and the question is how much upside, and I think there's enough to make it worthwhile for this project to continue.
Okay.
Tom? So are we voting on both of these simultaneously at the moment?
Yes.
So I just have a question about the whether it might be extended to somebody else. And it goes to, and I read B, it says, get everything ready, then discuss whether the scope can be expanded without significantly affecting the conclusions. And I'm just thinking about efficiencies here, is what if we get there and we say, well, it might be doable, but it's going to push us back 6 months or something. And so my question goes, is if you proceed this way, will there be a timing constraint imposed at the end, even if it's not affecting the conclusions? And is this something that would be more efficient if you think about it as you go? Because if we vote for this, we're basically saying that there's no efficiency difference. But down deep, I have this nagging thing that there might be an efficiency difference in how you could carry out the work.
At this stage, I don't think there would be a timing difference. I don't think it would introduce a delay. Because at this stage, as we set out in last month's paper, the principles we're using to determine whether we need to do any tailoring are those set out in BC 157. They were the ones used by the board in actually developing the standard for SMEs in the first place. So at the moment, I'm using exactly the same principles. I've looked at what the BC UCC project is doing, because that, although it's not solely limited to subsidiaries, the vast majority will be subsidiaries. And the principles they were looking at in terms of what user needs were married completely. It's primarily borrowers. So it's primarily all the things were in BC 157. So I don't believe that it would be a case if we get further down the way and then if you wanted to extend, we'd need to revisit everything, because at the moment I believe the principles I'm looking at would be the same regardless of the scope. I think the issues would be more potential for third tier, et cetera, would be that more, it would be that more sort of aspect.
I don't have a particular question, but I agree with staff recommendation to stop here to analyze at this moment and come back to explore further about the scope of this project. I mean, I think there is a potential candidate might be an affiliate of this state company, because based on my experience before, but I mean, this project has a potential to expand the use of the IFRS itself, because especially the jurisdiction which are not commonly used IFRS for SMEs. So in that jurisdiction, use of IFRS SMEs is not commonly understood, so more acceptable to use a full gap with reduced disclosure. So I think there might be another scope we can explore future.
Elizabeth, I agree with your analysis that we can come, that we should do the work first and then come back and look at the question of whether there's any broader scope that we should be considering. I'm not necessarily enthusiastic about expanding it, but I think in this case it makes sense. And I just want to draw a distinction between this project and the IFRS for SME project, because in the IFRS for SME project, having in mind what the type of entity is has, I think, very significant effect on the decisions we make about recognition and measurement, simplifications and modifications, and you know, thinking about the users of those financial statements. So I just want to do the compare and contrast as I think about the population to which this applies, knowing that they're applying all of the recognition and measurement requirements of IFRS standards. And where we're providing relief and flex is the disclosure. I think this sequence makes sense here. While if we were talking about the IFRS for SME project, I would be arguing vehemently what Tom was, which is I think there are quite fundamental. We can't just say, hey, let's just at the last meeting think about whether we want to make it broader, because I think with the IFRS for SME standards, you then would have to go back through a ton of decisions that have been made before. So even though they have both have SME in the title, it's opposite analysis.
Okay, can I see who supports the staff's recommendations?
14.
All right, thank you, Elizabeth.